This week's podcast is brought to you by Facial Roots. It doesn't matter if you're chopping wood or just watching Netflix, our men's product will make you look good no matter what you're doing. All of our products are made right here in Canada. They're vegan, biodegradable, and they're never tested on animals. Being manly is more than just looking and smelling good. It's about doing what's right. Stay tuned for the official release. In today's podcast, I sit down with Matar Lowe. Matar is a professional fighter, and his nickname is the Mantis. Why do they call him the Mantis, you ask? Well, that's because he's 6'2" and he fights at 145 pounds. So yeah, he is a pretty tall featherweight. We discuss his fighting career. We speak about his immigration from Senegal to Canada. We speak about his faith, a bit of philosophy, of course, and what he wants to do after his fighting career is over. You can find me, Nico Lagan, on both Facebook and Instagram, so make sure to like my page and follow me. All the previous episodes are available at rjlp.net/episodes. You can also find the Relax Just Love podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, and Stitcher. Make sure to subscribe on your favorite platform so that you can follow the show and be notified when new episodes are released. Peace! And we are on. What's going on, guys? What's going on, Matar? What's going on?
We out here, man. You know, nothing much. It's the weekend. Just wrapped up a good day of training and teaching. So now we're chilling. Out here chilling with my man, Nico.
Yeah, man. It's. I wanted to make sure to catch you alone. So we had you in a threesome. I had my first podcast threesome with you and Mateo.
Yes, sir.
I got to sit down with Mateo early on today. What a great young man that guy is. Now we're talking. So we went from the tick to the Mantis, right?
Yes, sir.
So for whoever doesn't know this man, he is a freak of fucking nature. He's, what, 6'2"?
Yeah.
And you fight at 155?
Fight at 145. Fight at 145 MMA and 147 when it comes to Muay Thai or K1 boxing. Kickboxing.
And you're saying that normally, that's crazy, but you said your weight, what weight are you right now?
Right now, I'm 159, 160. You can go up to 161, you know, depending on like, you know, you eat a little bit more today, you eat a little bit less.
You always
tomorrow.
Have a few pounds that goes up and down.
Fluctuates, exactly.
But that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
6'2", and you fight at 145 pounds.
Yeah, man. I gained some weight during COVID. During COVID, hit the gym was closed. Nobody's doing nothing. Training at home, maybe three days a week. But all I could do at home was like, could you have given me a few weights, a few the stairwell drill, whatever. And I was training, but it wasn't the same. I'm like, there is no way you can get the same training that you get in the gym. Because in the gym, your shirt is like pretty much all soaked.
It's because you're alone too, I think, right?
And also, you're alone. Maybe that can make a difference too. So, COVID hit. I reached my highest weight that I ever hit in my life. 177 pounds. I'm like, what? But I was still looking like I was in a good shape, you know, because I was really cut, really shredded. I just came from my fight.
But it's the carbs.
It was the carbs, you know.
The carbs will bulk you up.
A lot of rice, chicken, all that kind of stuff.
But you don't need a lot of garbage, right?
I don't eat a lot of garbage, no. But sometimes I do, though. I'm a kind of sweet tooth, so I like anything chocolate, sugary.
Oh, my man. Oh, chocolate. Man.
Yes, sir. Chocolate can't go. If I see chocolate, I got to eat something, man. Unless it's fight week, then I can resist 1 week and a half or something like that, max.
Next time I'm in town, I'll bring a chocolate cake. I cook a lot. That's nice. Why I look the way I look at my age is because I cook and I do everything from scratch.
Nice. That's good.
But I make a vegan chocolate cake. It is a fucking amazing. I've been working on it for 2 years now. The cake is just avocado.
Wow.
It's chocolate cake with avocado icing.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. And it sounds healthy too. So,
well, you know, for months I would make one every Friday.
Okay, nice.
And I would eat part of it during the weekend. And at the end of the weekend, I don't cheat anymore. So I'll cheat during the weekend.
Yes.
And I would bring it to work at the office and just leave it around so people could eat it.
Okay, that's good. Because if it's at home, man, you know, you're going to be like, I need a little bit of little bit of something like that, you know, to eat. Especially me at nighttime, I like to go to my bed watching TV with a little bit of something on the side for me to eat upon. But, yeah, that's how it is, man. But when the gym came back open, you know, put the work in, I put a challenge for myself. I was like 175, and I'm like, okay, I need to bring this weight down.
Yeah.
And just put a 5-week challenge, train minimum 5 days a week, 6 days if I can.
Yeah, yeah.
Do lots of cardio and then eat clean also for 5 weeks. And then when I did that, my weight came back down to 166.
Yeah, your body remembers. It doesn't take much.
Yeah, it didn't take much. And then after the 166, 1 week later, I was 165. And then it stayed between the 165 to 163 for maybe another 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I was good under 162. I'm good. And I feel like the 160 Matar easily beats up the 175 Matar. You know what I mean? Just because of how you feel and what you do as training, that your strength, and then pretty much the cardio also.
Got a question for you. I've never noticed before, but you have two. Did you get cut above both eyes?
There's one like above, there's one that's right beside it.
Is that an elbow cut?
No, it was not an elbow cut. Like, I have these cuts, man, but one I was 12 years old, one I was 16 year old.
Had nothing to do with fighting.
And I had nothing to do with fighting. Both of them, I was like playing soccer, and then it was kind of the same situation. One of them, the 12 year old Matara was like in Senegal, West Africa, in the neighborhood playing soccer with the other kids. We play soccer every single day outside.
Yeah,
and then they were throwing like a free throw.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when it was a free throw, I just jumped, tried to headbutt the ball. The other kid did the same thing. Ooh, we hit each other
head to head.
Head to head, and I hit my sweet spot on his heart.
Of course, you did.
So I got cut, and then luckily my dad was there, drove me to the nearest hospital.
Yeah, that needed stitches.
That needed stitches. Yeah.
And but same thing on the other side.
The other one, I was 16 playing here. There was a soccer tournament in Toronto. The ball was like somehow ended up way high up in the air. And then everybody's eyes were just on the sky, right?
Next
thing you know, as soon as it started coming down, you jump for it. And then same thing that happened. I got hit with somebody.
It's kind of funny that for a professional fighter, the only two scars you have on your face comes from soccer.
From soccer, yeah. Man.
And they say that fighting is a violent sport.
Yeah,
eh?
Exactly. You know what I mean? It can happen in fighting, but like it hasn't happened, you know, when it comes to like fighting, where I haven't had like cuts or crazy bruises coming from fight, unless it's from leg kicks, of course, you know. Like,
yeah, you can't take too many
of the body shots or something like that. But when it comes to cuts and crazy stuff, it happened mostly in soccer or outside of fighting.
So you're saying Senegal, so you've by what you've just said, you arrived here between 12 and 16, somewhere in there?
Yeah, 13 years old, I came here, you know, we came all as a family. My dad came first because he had the opportunity to work as an accountant at the embassy of Senegal.
Okay. Smart man.
Smart man, yeah, man. He didn't have a easy, you know, up and coming when he was younger, so he struggled a lot in his life, you know. So, but at the same time, he went to school and did good and then had opportunities. Then he went to the States, did some university studies, got his MBA there. And then he had a good job in Senegal. And that's how we slowly started moving from certain neighborhoods to a better neighborhoods when we were young. Yeah. So it was like the transition was like between, because when we were very young, we were living at our grandparents' house because my dad and my mom were still trying to, you know, make it, but on the side of my mom, because my dad, you know, his side was like, you know, his father was a polygam, so plenty of wives, and so he had a lot of brothers and sisters.
So that's through the Muslim faith, I was imagining that it was, because you can have up to four wives,
you can
right?
Have up to four.
As long as you can provide for all four of them.
But not all of them respect that. just to be real with you. Some people do it to their advantage, you know? So it's not like, oh, they don't think about the family in the future. You might end up with 20 kids. It's like, oh, whatever. I think I can handle it as long as, you know, I can get these beautiful wives.
Yeah, they can handle sleeping with four different women.
Yeah,
100%. That's what they can handle.
Exactly. So that's what it was. So that's why my dad, you know, that's the thing. He didn't get the attention or like the like his father didn't provide him the way he was supposed to provide to him. So, and, you know, he didn't grow up in a crazy, he grew up in a kind of crazy situation. So, yeah, between the transition of like when we were 5 to like 10, 12, that's when we kind of moved out from like the certain neighborhoods. And my dad was building a house somewhere when he started working good. And then we moved. And then after he got the opportunity, so it was like, where you guys want to go? If you guys would like to go to France or Canada. So we were like, oh, Canada, you know what I mean? And we came here December 2000. Four,
yeah,
in the middle of the cold.
Very nice. You said December?
December 27th.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're like right after the Christmas, right before New Year's.
And it's an international airport, so either landed in Toronto, Montreal, or Ottawa, right?
We landed in Montreal. We had like small jackets.
Of course you landed in Montreal, the worst of the three. Ooh.
And then the funny thing was like we had to... The plane, we were inside when we landed, so we haven't felt the cold like that, but we were able to see the snow. Like, whoa, what is this? It was all new to us. And then next thing you know, we had to walk out of the airport and then walk outside to step on a plane because it's a small plane taking you to Ottawa for a quick 25-minute plane ride.
Yeah, yeah.
So as soon as we walk out, we're breathing, there's this smoke coming out of our mouth, which is like the funniest thing that I will never forget. So me and my little brother, we're talking, there's smoke coming out of our mouth, and we just start blowing air consistently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that was a funny memory. My mom still reminds that to us every day. We bring some Canada memories or things like that. But yeah, we lived here as a family for 8 years. Then my dad went back to Senegal because as a diplomat, you move around.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he decided to go back and stay and live there and then keep working there. And him and my mom, they moved back. We stayed here for school and for other opportunities, you know, things like that. So me, I was more into sports. So I chased the martial arts life. I was playing soccer and things like that. So, yeah, man.
So your parents right now are back in Senegal?
Yeah, they're back. And then like most of my family, they're back. Older sisters are back too. They're married with kids. One of my sisters had a business that she started, a watch company. She makes these watches, Meti D watches.
Oh, very nice.
So it's pretty cool. And then now she's in Senegal. She has like a couple stores there.
Good
that
for
she opened.
Her.
And then she's making good business, like all the top.
Send me the information. I like watches. I like to encourage people to in whatever they do.
Okay, sounds good. I'll send you the website.
And yeah, man.
Then you see it. There's a lot of designs. So, yeah, it's pretty nice. That's what she's doing.
So are you the only one left?
Me and my little brother. My little sister is here. She's going to school. But now because of COVID, school is online.
Yeah, yeah.
She took her laptop. Took her luggage. She went to Senegal with the family there. So she's enjoying it and she's doing her school there.
Do you miss it? Do you miss Senegal?
Yeah, every once in a while I miss it because it's like that's where my family is, my parents and my mom, everybody. But at the same time, you know, as a grown man, I have to, you know, do my thing. So it's like it's not like I miss it to a lot, but I do miss when it comes to being with family, seeing my grandparents and stuff like that.
But do you consider yourself more Canadian? Because I would imagine you're a citizen now.
Like yeah, I'm a Canadian citizen now. All my family, except for my parents, they have permanent residence. But like, yeah, the rest
for all things, for all for everything concerned, you're almost Canadian if you have your citizen.
I'm Canadian. Yeah.
Yeah, for you, if you're a citizen, of course. But do you have both? Do you have a dual passport?
Yeah, dual citizenship. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself more Canadian or African or Senegalese?
To me, I have a Senegalese. Yeah.
Senegalese.
Yes. So to me, it's like a 50-50, you know what I mean? Because it's like my mentality kind of grew to pretty much the Canadian system. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that like, it's a huge difference in when it comes to mentality, when you're living in Senegal, being in Senegal all the time. And when you come into Canada, you have to adapt to a different mentality, different system, and which is like more disciplined, respect the law. And at the same time, you can't do whatever you want on the street. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's different in Senegal?
It is different. You know, of course, you know, it's not the most disciplined country where it's like people can go outside this gym right here and then just like lay a couple of watches and then be like, okay, this is where I'm going to sell my watches on the floor right here. So there's going to be a lot of people outside doing their things. People can use a park, do a car wash there and things like that. So here, you can't do it like that. You know, you need to have your own space and then have some paperwork and then do your thing when it comes to that. But also, there's also the professional world, people that went to school, people that have some high-level doctors, high-level business owners and things like that. So those people, they have to go through the, you know, be professionals and then do it the right way. So, yeah, to me, I feel like I have 50-50. You know what I mean? Mm. I have the mentality to the point where I can live in Canada in peace, no issues, no misunderstanding, and I understand how things go over here. You know what I mean? And when I go to Senegal, I'm a Senegalese guy, you know what I mean? But at the same time, if I talk to people for long, they will know that, oh, but the mentality I have is not the Senegalese mentality.
Yeah.
You know?
You're which more Canadian.
I'm a little bit more Canadian on that side. So I only realize that when I go to Senegal. To be like, okay, this guy doesn't think like the regular Senegalese guy, or he doesn't like sound like the regular Senegalese guy. So he has a little bit of difference there, which is something that I really like and respect when it comes to Canada, because people, they value those things when I go to Senegal, which is a good thing, which is a good value to have. You know what I mean?
That's good. I like that you see yourself as both, because Canada, you look at fucking Canada, we're a mixed breed, right?
Yes.
You'll run into pretty much anything when it comes to culture, when it comes to skin color, when it comes to wherever the hell you come from in the world. It doesn't really matter.
No, yeah.
I think we're pretty good for that, although from my perspective, we're very good for that.
Multicultural country, so it's amazing.
How do you, do you mind if we touch a bit on your faith? Because I know that's as private for a lot of people, but you come from, obviously your grandfather had fucking four wives, so you come from a Muslim a Muslim background, because Christianity does not allow for four wives.
But I was like on the side of my dad, but on the side of my mom, he had one, you know what I mean? And he's like the one that like kind of we raised us a little bit from 1 to 5 years old kind of thing until my dad was starting to get on his feet and, you know, get something going for us.
But that's okay, though. I don't remember where I was reading this, but they were talking about how in old school tribes, one of the things that they would do is have elders raise the kids. So the kids, so you'd have multi-generational tribes, obviously.
Yes.
You'd have kids, the parents, and then you'd have the equivalent of the grandparents.
Yeah.
And the grandparents, which are, they have more wisdom, they have more knowledge, would actually raise the little kids instead of having the parents that are in their 20s. What the fuck do you know in your 20s, right?
Yeah, that is true. That is true, and it's still happening currently in certain families and stuff like that, right? Unless the kids have money, they move by themselves and they have their own kids. But most of the time, it's very family-oriented. So you can have a big house where there's still the grandparents, the father and the mom, and then the kids. And they all live together, they all eat together, they all go to work and come back to the house. And it's a pretty much social family atmosphere. And then from there, most of the time, the grandparents are the one raising the kids.
Well, see, and I think, I don't remember if it was with Mateo that I was talking about that this morning, but I lived in Toronto for a while. And if you've ever been to Brampton, it's like, there's so many Indians over there. But they have one thing that's interesting. I fucking love their food. Man, I live in the UK.
Yeah.
But one of the things I find very interesting about the Indian culture is exactly that, the multi-generational homes. Yeah. Like, you go over there, they're all 6, 8, 10, 12 living in the same house. Yeah. To me, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I can't imagine living with 12 different people, but I don't have any kids. So, but in a way that you have a wife, you have kids, who do you want to be raising your kids? Would you rather the school system or the kindergarten or a babysitter, or would you rather have the grandparents that loves these kids?
Yes.
You'd much rather want to have your parents to be taken over when you're not around, right?
Of course, yeah. I want to drop them off to my grandparents. I don't want to call the babysitter or whatever, because most of the time what happens is, like, most of them, you turn your back, they might not care for the kid.
They probably don't.
Yeah, unless you're lucky. Every once in a while, you might get lucky, have a good person in your house that will love your kids. But most of the time, they probably won't. And then there were some people that got caught in videotapes, you know, beating kids while their parents are not there.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, not caring for the kid until the kid jumps on the table, falls, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, much rather have the grandparents. They will take care of them. They will buy them whatever they want. They will spoil them to the point where, like, stop spoiling my kids.
You have kids, right?
No.
You don't?
No.
Are you married?
I'm married, yeah.
Married with no kids?
No kids yet, man. I found a Senegalese girl, yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, man. Because starting 2015, because we were here with the family 8 years. So there was not much need to go back to Senegal, you know, especially by yourself.
Yeah.
But after my parents moved, you know what I mean? And decided, if you go on to vacation, all we have to cover is the flight.
Yeah, yeah, because people live.
Yeah, we have somewhere to stay, we have a home, and we don't have to worry about even food. Even though we're working, we can buy our own food or stuff like that. And I started going on vacation every year. So the fact that I was going on every year, but I never in my mind was like, oh, I'm going to look for somebody serious when I go on vacation.
Oh, you actually found her there.
Yeah.
You didn't find her here.
No, I met her there.
You brought her back.
I sponsored her. She came right pre-COVID in March 9th-ish.
Oh, snap.
And then 1 week later, all the airports got shut down.
So, this is very recent.
This is very recent.
Do you regret it?
No.
I'm just messing with you. Do you regret it?
Yeah, I don't regret it. I'm still new to it, you know. So, yeah, no regrets. Of course, it's not easy, you know, because it's like sometimes there's ups and downs and stuff like that.
Like everything in life.
Exactly. Like everything is in life. But our problems are not major to the point where it's like, oh, we can't handle it. Know what I mean? So anything that happened, it has been pretty much taken care of, dealt with, resolved, and then we move on, you know. So yeah, and she cooks really good food, so
that's important. That's an art that's being lost in North America. Most women can't fucking cook anymore.
It's been her passion, so she's studying culinary school and stuff like that. The other day, I was just telling her, because my brother bought Domino's pizza with some brownie cookies.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, and then she cooked, like, there's this thing that she cooked. It's like chicken mixed with, like, sweet potatoes, some vegetables, and she cut up some tomatoes, fresh tomatoes.
Yeah.
And she put it on the side with a whole wheat bread. She served me that for dinner when I came that night from training. I'm like, if you weren't here, I would be eating the pizza and the brownies that my brother made. But the fact that you're here and you cook this, I'm eating what I'm supposed to eat because of you. You know what I mean? So I was like, that holds a lot of value to me.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Over the years, I've realized something. It's going to be messed up what I'm going to say, because when you think about it, it's very strange, but my mother, as a child, I remember her cooking until my teens. Until my parents got divorced, I remember my mom always cooking, always preparing food, always spending time in the kitchen. And when we would always eat in the eating area, but there was no TV. It was really like it was time for a meal with your family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, to this day, I still look for the cooking aspect in women.
Yeah.
Because think about it. It's because there's an aspect in psychology that shows that men always look for women that are very similar to their mother.
Yes, and that's true.
And little girls grow up watching their fathers if he's present.
Yes.
And as women, they tend to choose a man that's very similar to their father. Which, when you think about it, it's really fucked up.
Yeah, it is.
But it is something that I look for, and unfortunately,
that's true, yeah.
I'm not saying that a woman's place is in the kitchen. That's not what I'm saying at all, because I love to cook. I absolutely love to cook.
Yeah.
But having, exactly like you said, you've had a long training, you've had, you know that, and you know as well as I do, like yesterday I had a good an hour and a half training, and I was fucking hungry.
Yeah.
But I ate sweets. I ate sweet. My body was craving sweets. I would have had somebody where I am that cooked me a meal that was good food. I wouldn't have ate sweets.
You wouldn't have ate sweets.
No.
Exactly.
So I'm not saying, and I would do the same for her. Like she's out. I know she had a long day. I'll prepare food. By the time she gets there, food will be ready. So she won't need to snack on garbage.
Yes.
Just because she's hungry and she doesn't feel like cooking.
Exactly. Yeah.
It brings people together. I think that's something in North America that we're losing a bit. I don't think it's part of our culture very much.
No. Because nowadays it's like people are a little bit sensitive to that concept of like, you know, me, it's like, I just think that, you know, whatever you want to do, however you want to handle your relationship, that's how you want to do it. You know what I mean? If the woman enjoys cooking and then she loves being in the kitchen, then why not do it? You know what I mean? If the man enjoys cooking, enjoys being in the kitchen, why not also do it? That's how my brother says when he goes to his girlfriend's house, it's always the dad who's cooking and he enjoys cooking, which is nothing wrong with it. Everybody waits for the dad to cook for a good meal, cooks for a good meal. So if it's the woman who loves enjoying the meal and cooking, it's like, don't tell her not to be in the kitchen. Don't tell her not to do what she loves to do. Because that's just what she enjoys, and she's good at it. So, you know, like, we can't wait for your food. And just like you said, I agree 100% when you say that, because my mom and my grandmother, man, they used to cook, like, the most amazing food in the world, man. So, yeah, I can see what you're saying. It makes a lot of sense.
You know? You don't necessarily, I didn't realize it until a few years ago, but... It's very messed up to think about the fact that I always remember my mom cooking. Yeah. So if you have a woman that cooks for me, right there it hits me. It hits a soft spot. Like, not that I can't cook, because I can cook probably as much as she can.
Yeah.
But there's something about, I think food, there's love. When you make food out of passion because you enjoy doing it, it's kind of you're giving love to someone through that food.
Pretty much, exactly. And you do it with care. It's like,
oh, watching the energy. Watching a passionate person cooking, it's love. Yes. What they're doing is love. And then you get to have the experience of eating with the people you care about around the table, shooting the shit, just being stupid. How do you feel right now? Because that's one of the biggest problems that I'm having with the COVID portion right now is that, like, it seems like people don't get to spend time with their, like, give you an example. I won't get to see my family this year.
Yeah.
Just because of the whole crap, and people in my family are part of those that think that the COVID is that they live a bit in fear.
Yeah.
But it kind of sucks that, like, even right now, I was at the SAQ picking up a bottle of wine for later on, and I could hear, like, there was this woman, like, SAQ, for the people that are not in Quebec, it's the LCBO for anybody that's not Canadian.
Yeah,
it's where we fucking buy liquor. That's where we buy our alcohol.
Yes.
Although in Quebec, we can buy it at the grocery store. We can buy it at the
corner store, gas station.
You can find it everywhere. If there's somebody behind a counter, chances are there's alcohol somewhere.
Hey.
But the two women are looking at each other. So one woman, she's the next to go in the SAQ, because we're all waiting outside like fucking idiots in the line. There's a woman that comes out and is like, oh, they know each other and they're talking and they respect the 6 feet. They're both wearing masks. They're outside wearing masks. Mm. They're 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I almost hugged you, but then I remembered that I can't. I was rolling with Mirza earlier. I met him today. He was sweating in my face. No, but seriously, I sparred with Mateo.
Yeah,
and we're clenching, we're punching each other in the face. I'm sure his sweat ended up in my mouth at one point.
Somehow, yeah.
I'll hug you. I'll hug the next guy. I'll hug the guy. I met with one of my friends earlier. I fucking hugged her. Like, what the fuck is going on right now? It's
crazy, man. Because it's like, just like you said, man. Usually I go to Senegal once a year, you know, to visit the family or something like that.
Yeah.
But I haven't been back. It's going to get close to 2 years now. You know what I mean? Oof. So all of that because of, like, you know, things being different, things being all weird and stuff like that. But I would really love to go. And then also just for our training, man, we can't even get close to each other. So, you know, like, we do train each other.
Yeah, but it's, like, not the same.
It's not the same. No. We can't do certain sparring sessions or stuff like that.
Which
is weird. And for me, honestly, for COVID, it's like, just give me more facts. What are the facts of it? Like, we have the flu. If you flu, you sneeze. You have a fever, you know what I mean? You stay at home. But, like, COVID, it's like, I've been just saying COVID. And then the symptoms are the same symptoms as if you have the flu or if you have a headache. And all of those things, it's called a headache. It's like, we know what it is. The flu, we know what it is. You know, your nose running, you're sneezing, you're tired, you need some water. But COVID, we don't have enough facts to be like, okay, this is what it is. Now people are saying,
did you notice that every single thing that makes me sick sometimes in the winter, all now is all related to COVID?
To COVID. That's what I'm saying. How is that? How does that make sense to me? To me, it doesn't make enough sense. And they're slowing a lot of things down. They are ruining a lot of people's lives, business owners and stuff like that, just because they're not sure. They don't know what information to give to the community or to the people, to the citizens. So they need to come up with something fast so that, you know, people can, like, you know, save themselves from, you know, some catastrophes, you know.
It's one of the things that I find interesting. I'm not for killing small businesses. Because not everybody, unfortunately, I also believe in a way that if you can't adapt, it's a bit on you because life is adapting.
Yeah, you got to adapt.
But you got to be fair. True. Why is it that big box stores are still open? You can go to Costco and people are stuck to each other like sardines.
That's what I'm saying.
But you're telling me that sparring here, that it is worse than Costco? They were saying that there were less than 5 cases of COVID in gyms in the whole Ontario province. But that's crazy. And if I remember correctly, don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure they came from the same gym.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I've met multiple people that caught it, that were identified as having it. And they're like, you know what, man? It sucks. It sucks for a few days. It sucks for a couple of weeks, depending on your body. But they're like, it's nothing more than a flu.
Yeah, you get through it.
Well, and again, if you... Oh, the camera turned off for some reason. Whatever. Okay. What bothers me about all of this is the fact that the better shape that you are in, the easiest it is to get over it.
Yeah.
So, but they're closing all the gyms.
Your immune system is getting stronger.
It's like everything in life.
Yeah.
If you hide from all the microbes, if you hide from all the things that can make you sick, your immune system is never going to get tougher. It's going to be shit.
Yeah.
You're always going to be sick. As you grow up, you're going to be sick all the time because as a child, you've never been exposed. Look what we're doing right now. We're preventing everybody. Like, you can't even hug your family member by what they're saying.
Yeah, like, how does that make sense, man? And then we're here rolling and we're training and then it's like, that's how you know. It's like, once you get used to a certain environment, here we get used to the environment of, like, the training.
Jiu-jitsu. Agreed.
Rolling. Yep. Stuff like that. So if I see my friend, no hesitation, hey, how you doing? Quick hug.
You can't stop. You can't stop.
People that haven't been around an environment like this,
yeah,
and they're always stuck to the COVID, if you bring them in here, they're going to be like, what? What are these people doing? You know what I mean? So it's crazy.
But the portion, like, forget the politics behind it. Forget the message that they're sending.
Yeah.
What really bothers me out of all of this is the mental health of the people training.
Mm-hmm.
I know for myself, if I'm not training, like I had to buy a gym for my house. Like I bought one of those Bowflex machines. I have a bunch of free weights. So I'm able to work to do good workouts every day. They're not as great as if I had a gym, but at least I can do that.
Yeah.
But the schools are all closed, so I don't get... So unlike here, here you guys are still somewhat open.
Yeah.
But in Quebec, we're completely closed. The gyms are not open at all. So I don't get to train anymore. So I'm gonna start getting people to come to my place and just train with them. Because I can't... It's not healthy for my head.
It is not.
Like, I trained a couple hours yesterday. I trained a couple hours today.
Yeah.
My legs are fucking kidding me.
And like, you're loving it, right?
Oh, I'm limping and I'm like, oh, fuck yes, this feels good. But I miss it. It's not healthy for my head to not be able to train.
That's true, man. I agree 100%, man. When the first lockdown happened and the gym was closed and everything, man, I couldn't take it no more. I'm like, just the gym opening back would be the weirdest thing in seeing people back. But now we're right back at it. And then we don't know. Now we're hearing Quebec Gatineau is getting closed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm pretty sure it is closed already.
This is your wellness, your well being. Every time I go to the doctor, I go with my wife or everybody else, he would just say, do some exercise for 30 minutes.
Yeah. You know,
I try to avoid medicine, try to avoid this, try to do some exercise 30 minutes for 5 days every day if you can. So if this professional doctor is telling me and my family, like, you need to train 5 days a week, at least 30 minutes just to move around, get your body warm, and then after that, go back to your business, you should be okay. And then now the government comes up and he's like, all gyms are closed.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make no sense.
It makes...
Because they're not the professionals of the wellness of the human beings. The doctors are.
Not only that, but I think there's a very bad misconception from people that are not in gyms that gyms are dirty places. Like, if you look, some schools are, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I've been to some schools, I wouldn't roll on the ground. Like, I wouldn't go do MMA on the floor, like, fuck that.
Yeah.
But all the schools, most of the schools that I've seen are just super clean. Every single class, they wash the mats.
Yeah.
So, you know that when you're rolling, it's not nasty on the floor. It's fine. Yeah. Plus, man, I come from a small town. Like, I grew up playing outside, playing in the woods, scraping my knees and getting infections. And you know what? Shit happens. It's interesting to realize when you get punched in the face. Everybody should get punched in the face so that they realize that they're not made out of paper. They're not made out of glass. They're going to be fine.
That's true.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks to get punched in the face, but you know what? Shit happens. It's fine. Shit happens.
You'll be okay.
And it's the same thing for gyms. Like, how many people have I met in my life that I know that their mental health is probably 100% dependent on being able to train? Like, some people are attracted by martial art for the peace that it brings when you're done training.
Yes.
You know, when you're... Earlier, as I was saying, I sparred for 45 minutes straight, like we weren't taking any breaks, and then I did a class, and Mirza, you fucking big motherfucker, you. If you're listening.
The bomber.
If you're listening, fuck off. It sucked. He got on top of me in MMA, and I couldn't get off. Okay. Like, I was trying, and he's so strong that he was just holding my arms in place. Exactly. And he was staying there, and he was laughing, big motherfucker, you. And
it's funny to him, man.
He's a cool dude, though. I like him.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
But when we were done rolling, I'm exhausted. I'm done. Like, I was just there.
Yeah.
But how cool is it to be that exhausted from having a 230-pound monster on top of you? To me, that is freaking pleasant.
Exactly. I agree 100%. And, you know, and then it just like as real as it gets, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no fake in having a 200-pound guy on top of you and he's trying to choke you and break your arm. Yeah, there's nothing fake about that.
Yeah.
There's nothing fake about that.
You got to do what you got to do to survive.
Well, it's a good thing to learn because that could happen in real life. And if you don't know what to do, that's 100% your fault, bro. You need to learn how to defend yourself, how to defend your family, how to defend your children. That's your job as a man to know this shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does your wife like the fighting? Is she good with it? Does she watch you fight?
Not really. She did taekwondo when she was younger.
Yeah.
Back in Senegal. And then after, she doesn't do much sport, but I try to influence her to, you know, just like our family doctor says to, sometimes when I go on runs, I'll go with her and then she'll drive the bike while I'm running.
Yeah.
Or sometimes she will do some things at home, just a quick body workout, something like that. But when it comes to the fighting, she's she's supportive, you know what I mean? But to me, I feel like she gets afraid, like you know, most people that would love you, that would only want to see you win and people like that. So she would get scared, but she doesn't show it to me though when I'm preparing or when I have something coming up, so which
that's
is a good thing.
Though.
So afterwards, you know, she'll celebrate when things go well and things like that. So yeah, she's cool with it. You know, she likes it. She likes the martial arts. She likes the jiu-jitsu. She came here. She tried a class. She did a class once, and then the other time when I'm training solo on a weekend,
yeah.
Sometimes she'll come with me and then do a little bit of training and stuff like that.
I got a personal question to ask you.
Yeah.
Senegalese women. I'm a big fan of black girls, I'll be honest. Okay. Oh, I have a soft spot for black girls for some reason. I love them. I love the ass. I love the curve of a black woman. They're not.
Yeah.
Not white women in general don't develop that the way a black girl can.
Yeah.
I know that some black guys, and I'm going to generalize here, do like bigger women. Senegalese women, are they tall, skinny, are they short, are they bigger? How does that work?
You have the average ones, you know what I mean? So it's like you have all kinds of sizes.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
You're gonna get like the slim model type.
Yeah.
You're gonna get the regular kind of size woman. My wife, she's not skinny, and then at the same time she's not big. So she's like regular weight around.
So she's
maybe
curvy. I'm sorry to talk about your wife like that.
She's somewhat curvy, you know. She's somewhat curvy, and at the same time, yeah, I'm a fan of that, and I like that. I like women with curves. You know what I mean? Bigger curves than mine. If the curves are not bigger than mine, I can't go for it. So
yeah, I am the same boat as you, brother.
You know, so that's how it is. As long as there's some curves in there. And anything else, and she's a good human being, of course.
Yeah.
Anything else that comes up with it is a bonus, you know. So, yeah, and we have also, you know, bigger women too with bigger curves over there. So, you know, you get all kinds of style, and it's called the country of the pays de la teranga, and teranga is like they love to like, you know, serve people, help people, you know, with. They help each other with food and stuff like that. So you go to certain cities, you're hungry, you knock on somebody's house, they don't know you. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, here's a plate.
Seriously,
100%.
That's
why they call it the pays de la teranga. So teranga means like, you know, greeting people with like treats or things like that.
Damn, that's cool.
Yeah.
The country of teranga.
Teranga, yeah.
So you do speak French?
I speak French. I learned English when I came to Canada.
Seriously?
Yeah, man. I was, it was like, you know, people that speak English and I learn French immersion, so they kind of know how to read. They know a few words in there. It was the same thing with English. I know how to read. I learned, took it in school back then, and I knew a few words, but I couldn't have a conversation with nobody because I didn't have I can't understand somebody talking to me fast or something like that, like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So Wolof, the Senegalese language, my mother's tongue, or French, the language that we do in school or in the professional world. So
everybody speaks French in Senegal.
Yeah, most people speak French unless you didn't go to school or something like that. But most people speak French in Senegal.
Do you have fans over there? Do you have are you known in Senegal for your fighting?
I'm known, but like not big time. I'm known for like, you know, people, close families and some of my friends and stuff like that. Sometimes whenever I have a fight, they share my things over there. And then other people get to know me. And then the people that train jiu-jitsu, there's a small crew training jiu-jitsu at this Olympic club. So whenever I go to Senegal, I train with them. I go there, train there, roll with the guys and stuff like that. And also Muay Thai, also I spar with them a little bit too. So, yeah.
We should do, man, if I would have known, we could have done this in French.
Oh, okay. Maybe we can do it next time. Or
yeah, next time I'm down, we should record one in French for the people over there.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Man. Yeah, I like the French language, too, especially when it's not Quebecois.
Yes.
Like the one I speak, because I'm not sure that what I speak is actual French.
No, it is French. It's just it's just a different accent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know a lot of the people from Quebec, they're very proud of their French. So they even think that they have the better French than the one in France. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I'm not sure why we believe that. Because we sound very, like we, when you think about it, our French is very similar if you compare, let's say, Canadian or American English to the real English language, like to the British. British is closer. Like one of my best friends is French. He grew up over there. He's been here for a few years, but you don't lose the accent.
Okay.
You'll add some cooler words from Quebec, but you still have an accent.
Yes, true.
So our French is to the French language what the American and English and the American and Canadian English is to the British, right?
Yeah. Okay.
But I think we sound tougher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
We sound tougher than the Frenchies.
Yeah, the Frenchies, they have that soft-spoken kind of style they have. So
similar to British, if you look at a Canadian accent or an American accent, sounds a lot tougher than a British accent.
That's true.
You don't sound very tough speaking British English. I'm sorry for the British people out there, but man, you sound very sophisticated.
I never thought of that, but it is true. It makes a lot of sense, man.
Yeah, you sound sophisticated, but you're not scaring me with your words. No. I can tell you that. So you got here when you were 14. You said 13 earlier, 13, right? Yeah. You got here when you were 13. All your family's back home now, except for you, your wife, and your little brother.
My brother, yeah.
What are you planning about going back? Or are you
In the future, I would like to, because just like there's barely any jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai there.
Oh, you'd like to bring it over there.
My goal is to bring it over there, you know what I mean? Open my own gym.
Good for you.
And then open a big gym, you know, help the kids coming up or anybody that loves the training, jiu-jitsu. You know, one day you end up in Senegal, there's Matar's gym there.
I was going to say that would give me an excuse to go there.
Exactly. So that's the plan, you know. But the fact that, like, you know, I'm still competing, I can't do it now. And at the same time, you know, with the jiu-jitsu, I still want to move up closer to the higher belts. Like, even though I'm, like, purple with 3 stripes.
So you're almost a brown belt now.
Almost, yeah, not too far. But, I get to brown and then getting close to black, you know, I would like to receive the black belt back home with my people, you know,
and
training with them and then open a nice gym. Just like you're saying, some gyms are not as clean where you're like, you can't roll there or something like that. Over there, that's a thing, you know what I mean? Some gyms are clean, but those are mostly like the fitness, gym.
Kind of thing.
We don't have a gym, jiu-jitsu that's like legit. Clean mats, brand new material and stuff like that. So when I'm opening a gym over there, that's what I want, like a kind of same style as New Era, clean mats, new bags, good material, and then a big space where people can come sign up. It's not gonna be cheap because it's gonna be a 4 or 5 star gym.
Well, you know, the company I work for in, I don't want to say in real life, but to pay the bills, if I can say it that way,
yeah,
is exactly the same thing. Our services that we sell, we don't sell cheap because we are the best at what we do.
Pretty much.
And there is a premium. Mm. If you want to have just another gym, go buy because it's cheap.
Okay.
But if you want to go to the best gym, if you want to if you want to have the best instructors, if you want to have the cleaner place, there is a premium that's attached. You're looking for a better service.
Yes, sir.
Guess what? You're going to pay more.
Exactly. And that's just how I see it, because it's like I spent all these years to learn Muay Thai to be one of the best Muay Thai strikers probably in my city. And hopefully be one of the best too, not only in the country, but maybe in the world in the future. And jiu-jitsu, same thing. I spent many years, you know, doing tournaments, traveling, competing, trying to be the best, trying to win as much gold medals as I can. So it's like, if they're going to get jiu-jitsu and I open it from the Mantis, they're going to have the best jiu-jitsu that they can get in the country, in Senegal, you know what I mean? They're going to get the best Muay Thai that they're going to learn. So it's like I'll get there with a good resume where people won't doubt me as much.
Yeah.
But it's a premium level. So, and I feel like if you bring that over there, because that's the thing is, like, there's people with money, of course, with a lot of money, but also there's a lot of poverty over there.
Yeah.
So people either have lots of money or people have, like, pretty much, like, no money.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? So, but there's a lot of people that can afford it. And then most of the time, people with money, they can sign up, you know, their nephews, their nieces. It's like they can do a lot for other people.
Yeah.
So they can spend money too and things like that. So
that's a good dream, man. Good for you. It's good to have a dream.
Yeah, that's the dream. But so it's like, as soon as, you know, Crew Jeff gave me the opportunity to teach martial arts, and but he knew also my goal is to open the gym there. And he even gave me the opportunity to get experience here and then teach and then be in my field. And I see myself teaching martial arts and being in martial arts for the rest of my life, which is a little bit something crazy to me, but it's a good thing, you know. And so I really respect the fact that, you know, he kind of pushing me towards that direction, you know.
The beautiful thing about martial art is that it was there more than 2,000 years ago. It'll be there in 2,000 years.
That's true, yeah.
Men will always fight a way to fight.
That's true,
We want to fight. I'm sorry. Men love to fight.
Yeah.
We love to brawl, like to fuck around. And knowledge on how to fight is always going to be there.
That's it.
Good for you. It's a good dream. I like when people have dreams.
Yeah,
because it's important to find your passion. It's important to find what makes you happy in life.
Yeah.
And if you're able to bring what makes you happy and make money out of it, why the fuck not? Right?
Yeah. And at the same time, help, you know, the community and stuff like that. Because when you run stuff like martial arts or any other stuff that are not martial arts, but that touches the community, and then you're serving the community, you're serving people, the human beings, and then you might change a lot of children's life when they grow up under you.
Yep.
That's something big. That's something more valuable than money to me.
I couldn't agree more. It's mentorship.
Yes.
It is. This is where I am at my life, my friend. Mm-hmm. This is exactly where I am at right now. This is one of the reasons for this podcast, and one of the reasons I'm talking to you, and one of the reasons I speak with people I find inspiring, is really for the simple fact that men, in my opinion, in societies now, they tend to believe that it's not okay to be a man. It's not okay to want to fight. It's not okay to be full of testosterone.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Like, it's good to be a man. I'm happy to be a man.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be a man.
It is.
And I want them to understand that exactly. This is how I choose to help. Because believe me, I'm not making money doing podcasts. It's costing me a shitload of money to make podcasts. But if I can change, I have the chance to speak with guys like you.
Yeah.
And if I can help one person, if every podcast that I make, if there's one person that learns something that feels better, that makes them want to try something new, fuck, I accomplished what I wanted to do.
Exactly. You know, and then that's just how it is. It's just about, like, you know, try to touch the people, try to touch the world, and try to, you know, help Because it's like all of us, even me, when I was just starting martial arts, I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. It's like I was talking to one of my students earlier. It's like, oh, when you're a white belt, you're all tense, or you're new, you're all nervous. As soon as you hug each other, it's like, okay, who's going to hold each other the hardest? Right? And then most of the time, it's because it's like they don't know what the most advanced guy is going to do. They don't know. They're not wise enough, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, that concept is like, you know, be able to like direct people when they don't know their way, pretty much. You know, when you see somebody about to take the left road and then there's a whole bunch of lines there, be like, help them, be like, this, give them a little bit of insight, or even if it's not giving them insight, them listening to the interview, they might be like, oh, actually, I was thinking this is what it was, but then this is the case.
Yep.
So I can take the right way and then do the right thing, you know, from there. So, yeah, I feel like that's a great point.
You know, it's mentorship, as I said, is something that I find is lacking nowadays. I think it's time for great men to step up and help the other men, the younger generation, help the teenagers. And this is my dream. This is my dream. I hope that – I don't hope. I will get there. Like, yeah, I have no doubt about it.
That's true.
And I strongly believe that martial art will be the way I will touch.
Yeah.
I will touch their lives, but I also – believe that there's a spirituality aspect to martial arts. There's a respect. There's so much growth as a person that needs to happen. And that happens through martial arts.
There is, because especially for me, man, I would get in trouble. When I was playing soccer, I would get into fights. You know, I wasn't the most disciplined kid. But like ever since I started martial arts, that's the last time I got into no fight or altercation.
Well, outside of a cage.
Outside
right?
of a cage. Yeah, yeah,
outside of a cage. Outside of a cage or a ring.
I'm like, fuck it. I'll just go fight people and then not get charged and in the cage.
Yeah.
But it's like I got so much more discipline out of it. You know what I mean? And then more patience too when it comes to like, you know, like sometimes my friends say, yo, Matar, you're too nice sometimes. Like, I don't know if there's such a thing as being too nice, you know what I mean? But at the same time, just having patience in people. And then nowadays, it's like with the new world, you know, having TikTok, you know, or Instagram, Facebook, even me, I get caught up into it sometimes, but I know what matters and what really doesn't matter, you know what I mean? And then the new kid with like a new iPhone, iPad, and having all these gifts in him might not know what's the right thing and what's the wrong thing. You know what I mean? Because most of their mentors might be like the YouTube stars that are like always instigating, oh, I want to fight Conor McGregor, I want to fight this guy. So they might not know the real stuff. They might get caught up in something that is not super real, something that's kind of like a little bit artificial. And then I just hope, you know, they get someone, you know, who guides them, whether it's a man in their life or a woman in their life. To just let them know that these are just like, you know, accessories to keep you from, you know, to keep you entertained for a little bit. But this is the reality, just like we were talking about, you know.
So as it's almost been an hour, man, I'm going to ask you the same question. I think, unfortunately, I've asked you this question when we spoke with when you had a threesome with Mateo. I really like saying the threesome with Mateo. It sounds really dirty, especially that you're on the casting couch right now.
Yeah.
The question I want to ask you kind of is a good segue to what you were saying there. I really wonder, so if you had the chance to speak to your 14-year-old self, fuck, you just made it to Canada, basically.
Yeah.
What would you tell that kid, knowing what you know now, what would you say to the younger, tall, skinny Matar. Yeah. Man, what would you say?
Knowing what I know now?
Yeah.
A lot of things, man. A lot of things. I would just like tell them to start martial arts at that time.
Fuck soccer.
Fuck soccer. Go get your jiu-jitsu on. Go get your Muay Thai on. And be a champion of the world by 20.
Yeah.
You know? And at the same time, you know, chase your dream. You can make anything you want to make in life. You can do anything that you want also, you know, not just like trying to force yourself into something that you are not or something that you're not good at. You know what I mean? If math is not mathematics is not my favorite subject, there's other subjects out there that you have to be good at, you know. But sometimes our parents might be like, oh no, even if you're not good, you need to be good at this specific thing. Where it's like, it's not the case most times. It's like, we have plenty of successful people in the world. They do, all of them don't do the same thing, right? You just need to be the best at one thing in life.
Yep, agreed.
Right? So I would tell myself, like, just be the best at one thing in life, and that one thing has to be the thing that you love and the thing that makes you the best you, or the things that makes you happy when you do it, as long as it's not nothing illegal and you don't hurt the next man, right? In a illegal way. But if you hurt the next man by crushing them and living your dream, well, that's how it is, you know what I mean? As long as it's legal, you're good.
I agree. And yeah, that's what's the beautiful thing about fighting, is that it's legal to punch people in the face in when the you're face. Fighting legally.
Yeah, that's it.
It is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is.
Do you have anything else you want to add? Is there something you want to say?
No, not too much, man. It was great talking to you, man. I also, you know, get a lot more when I just speak on these subjects. I learn myself, you know, also, and it reminds me of like who I am, where I came from, and then what my goal is, you know. And then as long as I remember that, I will get to where I want to be, you know, in the future. So other than that, yes, sir.
Well, it was a pleasure to have you. Thanks for taking the time, man. Next time I'm in town, we're gonna have to punch each other a bit.
Yeah, man. I'd like to get some rounds in, man. I can't believe you get rounds with all these guys, but not the Mantis. Come on, man.
Yeah,
but the Mantis gotta get some rounds too.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. It'll be my pleasure to punch and kick you, man.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thanks for being there, bro.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure's all mine, man.
Thanks, Nico.
Yeah, man.
All right.